We have our Bible studies going on, the in-person and virtual option Shady Oak Bible Study on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. We'll be planning to meet in person, weather permitting, but just contact me for more information. That'll be Wednesday night, 7 p.m., the Shady Oak Bible Study. There's also the church softball game Tuesday night at De Lagoon Park, 8:30 p.m., Stavanger playing 8:30 p.m. We have our deacon board meeting on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Make note of that. As you may have noticed, the offering plate is not passed around during the service, but it can be found in the entryway. We have a few announcements from the ladies here. I'd like to invite up Tammy Jewell for an announcement about EyePoint.
Good morning. Lily Stock and I had the privilege of spending our week at camp this past week. It was a wonderful week. First week at Twin Oaks site. And, of course, there's always new stuff. And it was just a really fun week. But I wanted to let you know there's still openings for kids if they're in junior high, trailblazer, CITs, or family camp. So if you're interested in any of those weeks, you can talk to me or call the camp.
And being that today is Mission Sunday, we have an update from Joy Mathieson on the Hosh family.
Maybe, Tammy, you should tell them you didn't go as a camper. You and Lily Stock. Okay. She was a nurse there. You probably all figured that out. But. Okay. You should have received a little kind of bookmark thing about the Hosh family. I've been Facebooking Sarah a little bit more the last few days, and because of COVID, life is pretty hard there right now. Taiwan did really well for a long time, and just recently someone came from another country and spread it like crazy in Taiwan. So Taiwan locked down really quickly about 6 weeks ago. Some of you might have seen that on the news or on Facebook from Sarah or Ben. So they've been in lockdown about 6 weeks, the last we heard. Maybe a couple weeks they'll open up a little bit. But this means that the kids were home for school, so Sarah and Ben were teaching them. Keith just told me today that if you break the rules there, it could be a fine of up to $10,000 if you're not out, like, getting food or something really important. So they're not going out of their apartment much at all. So Sarah's really feeling, and Ben too, I'm sure, but Sarah especially is feeling that isolation. So I put address on here. You can always send them something, or if you can connect on with them on Facebook, that's good too. But just pray for them. This is a really hard time. The kids just finished school, so they don't have that. But they're in a three-bedroom apartment on the fourth floor. Usually they go down and there's a play area in the first floor. There's a green space with a university nearby, but they're kind of stuck in their apartment. So please pray for them. They would stay well, but also that the social isolation wouldn't get to them too much. And also Ben is doing language work in the evenings now. He helps out with the kids in his home, and then from 8 to 10 at night, he does his language learning. Right now, Sarah's waiting on that until Charlie, who's about 4 months old, gets a little bit older. So please pray for them. They're working on what they're going to do next. They'll soon be done with their language learning, and they will go decide what people group, what city they're going to live in. Just a reminder that it's really crowded there. So I understand why the government just says, hey, wait a second, we're way too close together, so we need to close down. So just remember them, especially now, that God would give them what they need during these times, and just pray for them. They need our prayers. They love any kind of connection they can get with us, and we hope they get to come back to the U.S., I don't know, next summer maybe? Hopefully. Thank you. Oh, Keith has something.
On a bright note, Taiwan has their own vaccine that they're going to be implementing this month. And Ben and Sarah are going to wait for the Moderna vaccine that the United States has committed to send a 500,000 doses of Moderna to them.
Okay, everybody, I'll just repeat that. Taiwan has gotten their own vaccine, and they'll start right this month, they're going to be putting it out. Sarah and Ben are going to wait till the Moderna one comes. I know the U.S. has promised 500,000 or something doses that they're sending to. So that's a real, like Keith said, that's the bright note in all of this. And a couple more weeks, and maybe they can get out more and at least go out for walks and take the kids outside. Thank you.
Thank you for the update, Joy. Now let us hear the call to worship from Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn down by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Let us now pause for a moment of silence and the tolling of the bell. As you are so able with the congregation, please rise as we worship in song. We'll be singing, "This Is My Father's World." Seated. We will continue worship in song with "He Leadeth Me, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought."
Thank you.
I see, since thy hand that leadeth me. Let us now confess our sins together. We will use the words printed in the bulletin or up on the screen. I will read the words under the heading Pastor. Please join me in reading the words under the heading Congregation. Let us confess our sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word. And by your grace, we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Now let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Yes, so we'll take this time to pray together. Does the congregation have any prayer requests? Yes. Yes, we'll be praying for Audrey's surgery on Friday, the 25th. Let's pray. Holy Father, we lift our voice to you now. We come before you now in this church, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise that is due your name. Lord, we take this time to lift up our needs, the needs of our home, the needs of our community, the needs of the mission you've called us to. We lift up those who are sick, who are in despair, who are hurting. We lift up our sister Audrey, particularly for her surgery coming up on Friday. And we turn to you, Lord. We commit these to you, Lord, and in hope, Lord, knowing that you are good. Committing to you, Lord. And we trust in you. We lift up our friends and family also who need to hear the truth of your word. Help us to live in faith and to trust you more as the days, each day goes. Lord, we need to trust you more. We pray for our church. Help us, Lord, in our mission. Equip us, empower us. It is all through you, Lord. Holy Father, we want to give you thanks too this day. We want to thank you for your mercy towards us. Here at Stavanger, Lord, we want to take a moment to remember and to call to mind all the things we are grateful for. Have you blessed us? Have you strengthened us in our weakness, in our worry, in the times we're scared, how you are our strength, Lord. We appreciate and give you thanks for the provisions you've given us and for the hope that you give us. And for the good news, Lord, we are thankful. Yes, Lord, and now as we turn to your word, help us to hear it. May we listen attentively and that we may receive from you, Lord. Just pray over Pastor John today as he delivers your word. And now we'll pray in the manner in which the Lord Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to invite up Pastor John Jewell with today's sermon, Real ID, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41.
All right. Well, I was going to do the kids' sermon, and then they all went. Okay. Dean, no. Pick on you.
I'm ready.
Yeah, all right. And all the other kids here. All right. Can you see what I have in my hand? It might be a little harder for those. You maybe could guess, given the size of it. I pulled it out of my wallet. If I'm ever pulled over on the road, I might have to show this to somebody wearing a uniform. All right. Okay, it's my driver's license. All right, very good. Why do we need to carry this?
The bigger question is, why were you pulled over?
Why was I pulled over? That was a hypothetical situation. Although it has happened. And I'm old enough, I can't remember why. Maybe I was doing something wrong, I'm not sure. One time it was I had a light out, but there was other reasons too. Aside from that question, why are we required to have these things? What's that?
To remember
who we are. That's getting truer all the time. Yeah, yeah. Remember who we are. Any other thoughts?
Where we live.
Yeah, so we know where to go at the end of the day. All kinds of things I hadn't thought of, or had thought of, but forgot. Yeah, what else?
Prove you know how to drive.
Prove I know how to drive, yes. Yeah. And now, I was asked to show this. I went to the bank and I had to cash a check for my daughter, Mariah, who's not in the country, but my name's on her account so I can do her banking for her. And I was asked to show this. Well, why did I have to show this? To prove who I am, who I say I am, right? All right. Now, I noticed today as I looked at this, this said not for federal identification. And it made me wonder, okay, this is good while I'm in Minnesota, but if I go over to North Dakota, would they not know who I am? But then I thought, no, in North Dakota, everyone knows everybody. We used to live there, and it was funny. You'd go to the state track meet, and you'd go around to the different high school encampments. And so you know so-and-so. Oh, yeah. And it's just like a family reunion, a state event in North Dakota. But anywhere else, anyway. I have a passport for that. There's different levels of ID, federal and international ID. Says who you are, right? Well, this morning, our passage from the Gospel of Mark deals with the question of identity, namely that of Jesus. So I invite, as you're able, to please rise for the reading of our passage for today. From Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, and I read in Jesus' name. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let us pray. Lord, may you reveal your true identity to us again today in this your word. Speak, Lord, and may we, your servants, be listening. We ask this, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus had been teaching on the one side of the lake, or the Sea of Galilee, and had to get into a boat, actually, and push off from shore just a little bit. The people are crowding in so close to him so that he could see and be heard by the crowd as he taught them. And so it's getting to be evening, and he says to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side, the east side." And this is a big lake, not a little lake. Bigger than Otter Tail, maybe a little bit smaller than Mille Lacs. It's situated in the geography in which it's situated is really unique. It's actually the lowest freshwater lake or inland sea on the face of the planet. The Dead Sea is lower. It's farther down the Jordan River, but that's very, very salty. This is fresh water in the Sea of Galilee, and it's several hundred feet below sea level, and it's surrounded on some sides on the west and the northwest, I believe, particularly southwest, with high mountains, and it makes this kind of bowl. And because of this unique geography, it's not unusual for huge winds to come down and stir this up like a cauldron, and it can happen quite suddenly. So there's a number of unusual things that are not unusual in this passage, and a few that are quite unusual. One is storms on the Sea of Galilee, not unusual. Fishermen getting in a boat, crossing to the other side, not unusual. Being afraid when your boat is nearly swamped and ready to sink, not unusual. Sleeping through storms. For some people, this is not unusual. I've done it. Don't do it as much anymore. Sleep through a baby crying. For some people, not unusual. For some people, impossible. Especially moms. Talking to the weather. Not unusual. The weather listening. Unusual. And sailors asking a carpenter for help in a maritime crisis. Maybe unusual. We come up in this passage, which, by the way, and I've probably done this myself, it's easy to make short work of this and just say, well, trust Jesus in the storms of life, and okay, we're done. But to allegorize this, and that's not entirely a wrong interpretation, but I think it misses the main point God's trying to make here through Mark. The main point really comes down to the last verse here, verse 41, and it's the three-word question, who is this? Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. Now, up to now, the disciples have observed Jesus having power over demons, sicknesses, and the like, but they haven't witnessed this yet. Who is this? And this is the whole point of Mark's gospel. He states it right up front, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Boom. States it right up front in case we don't know why he's writing this. And all through these opening chapters, we're getting presented with events from Jesus' earthly ministry that tell us who he is by what he does. It's really showing us Jesus' ID card. They've witnessed Jesus doing good things for people, helping them out. And now here comes this unusual thing. Their boat is about ready to sink. Their lives are in mortal danger. And what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. And it doesn't say right here, but we get other clues that Jesus probably wasn't sleeping just to be funny or prove a point or something. He was probably tired. Elsewhere in the Gospels, we find out that Jesus got tired. He was human, fully human. The Word made flesh. He felt the things humans feel. He feels hungry. He feels thirsty. He feels pain. He feels sorrow. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. He gets angry. But he doesn't sin in his anger. He gets angry in a righteous way. But he feels all this. So he had been teaching all day. He was probably tired. And he was sleeping. And sometimes when you're just really shot, you can sleep through a lot. And he was sleeping. But the disciples were not sleeping. They were fearing for their lives. And it's not wrong that they wake him up. But their question of Jesus in verse 38, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I want to cut these guys a little slack. It's easy for us to kind of, you know, Monday morning quarterback this thing, you know, in the comfort of our easy chairs. You know, we weren't out on the field on Sunday, with huge guys coming at us in a football game, the kind of thing. We're not in the middle of a lake with our boat ready to sink, not knowing how the story ends. So I would like to cut them some slack, but it's not up to me to cut them slack. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I can imagine I would not do any better in that situation. And does he care? It was a question of his identity. It was a question of his character. Okay, if you're this miracle worker, if you're, shall we say, Messiah, Christ, the one we're to look for, what kind of Messiah are you? What kind of character do you have? And Jesus uses the opportunity. He uses the opportunity to show them a little bit more of his ID card, or to show him his enhanced ID. He gets up and he rebukes the wind and says to the waves, "Quiet, be still." It's the word literally means to be muzzled. Put a muzzle on that yapping dog. Wrap some duct tape around it. Make it quiet. Kids, don't do this at home. Don't put duct tape on your dog. It's not good. I did it once, but it was at the other end for other purposes. That was a different story that I've told here. I shouldn't have mentioned that. That was really distracting. Don't put just leave the duct tape and the dog alone. But muzzles are put on dogs to make them quiet. And what we have here, original language stuff helps a little bit here just to pick up something that doesn't come out in English as easily, but there's three words that get translated, or there's one word in the original, in the Greek, that gets translated as three different words in English here. But if we point this out, in verse 37, first we have a furious squall, a mega squall. It's mega is where that's the Greek word for big. And there it is. A mega squall wind came up. And then in verse 39, we get a mega calm, a big calm, a complete calm. And that's followed up in verse 41 by a mega fear. They were terrified. Big wind, big calm, big fear. As Jesus' identity card, as his real enhanced identity is revealed to the disciples, they're not afraid of the storm anymore. They're afraid of the one who commanded it. Who is this? Who is this? It can be unnerving to be in the presence of such power. You've maybe been by a lake on those rare occasions where it's just as still. The lake is like glass. Pretty rare occurrence. But it's unheard of that happens in an instant after the thing is totally white-capped. And it goes from that to that. Like that. Who can do that? This is the enhanced ID. Who is this? This is the one they were waking up from sleep in the back of the boat saying, "Don't you care?" Now there may be wondering, maybe we should have left him sleeping. Who is this that has such great power? And why do we fear? I'll put us in the boat now. Why do we fear? Well, it's like Peter when Jesus was in the boat with him on another occasion. And he'd been fishing all night, caught nothing. Jesus says, yeah, throw the net on the other side. And then he can hardly haul the net in, that's so full of fish. And then he realizes, ooh, who am I here with? And then he realizes who he is. The who is this? That question stirs up a storm in our heart because of the who am I question. Who am I to be in the presence of one so powerful? And we know from the rest of Scripture, one so holy and perfect. Because all throughout the Old Testament, ever since sin entered the world, there's been a separation between the likes of us and the likes of a holy God. And now they are being faced with this great power, this great holiness in their physical presence in this boat, a little too close for comfort. Who is this? Does he care? Well, his actions speak for themselves. The storm was dealt with, the one around him. But now they got the storm going inside. Who is this? Who is this? And who am I to be in his presence? We get to wrestle with that question all throughout the gospel. But the ultimate expression of Jesus enhanced ID, Mark saves for the end of his gospel. When Jesus is nailed to a cross, the one who commands winds and waves allowed those vulnerable to the threat of winds and waves to nail him to a cross so that he might die for their sins and yours and mine. If you want to know who this is, Jesus' real ID, his enhanced ID, it's in the shape of a cross and an empty tomb. And his promise that your tomb also will be empty and you can be with him without fear for all eternity. That's the good news. Jesus' enhanced ID is a cross and an empty tomb and a promise for all who would be found with him. That doesn't mean that you will not face winds and waves in this world. Many believers have gone down at sea. Sometimes God miraculously rescues them that they might stay on earth longer. Sometimes he doesn't. But like Daniel's friends before they were thrown in the fiery furnace, we know God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. We don't have to fear death anymore because of Jesus' real ID as Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us in your teaching, in your mighty acts throughout history, and ultimately at the cross and the empty tomb. And the one that we have yet to look forward to, your return to this earth. So, Lord, in life, in death, may we abide in you and find peace and be still and know that you are God. Amen.
Would the congregation please rise for our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Go now in peace. steadfast, strong, and true. Receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.